الحمد لله حمدا طيبا مباركا فيه، ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما بينهما وملء ما شاء من شيء بعد. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد إذا رضيت، ولك الحمد بعد الرضا. اللهم لك الحمد كما يليق بجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. الحمد لله الذي كتب على نفسه أن رحمته تسبق غضبه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة. اللهم صل وسلم صلاة وسلاما دائمين متلازمين على نبينا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعلينا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. أما بعد، عباد الله، أوصيكم بتقوى الله تعالى وطاعته. All praise is to Allah, a praise that is good throughout, a praise that is pearls His bounty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah until He is pleased, we praise Allah while He is pleased, and we praise Allah after He is pleased. O Allah, we praise You and we express our gratitude to You the way that is befitting to You. We bear witness that there is nothing to be worshipped beside Allah, the Most High, alone with our partners. And we bear witness that His servant and prophet and messenger Muhammad has conveyed the message and the trust. O Allah, send a peace and blessings forever and eternally upon Your prophet Muhammad, his family, companions, and upon those who follow the guidance until the day of judgment, and upon us with Your mercy, O Most Merciful. After this greeting and salutations, O service of Allah, I advise you as well as myself to have consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High at all times, and to obey His commands. As believers, we live in a constant struggle, in a constant jihad. And that is alluded to in a hadith, although the chain of narration that brought the hadith is weak, but the meaning of the hadith still remains true. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was related that he told his companions when they were returning back to Medina after a battle, that you have came from al-jihad al-asghar, you have came from a small jihad, from small striving, to al-jihad al-akbar, to the major or to the big jihad. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alluding in this narration to the fact that the fight against and the struggle against our own desires is what's really lasting and going on from the beginning of our life till the end. And that is the biggest jihad that we have to fight. Our own selves and desires. Something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us against in the Quran many, many times. And He showed us how the people before us fell into the traps of their own soul, of their own self. Even though they were seeking to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but their biggest enemy was their own self. So our scholars have spent much of their time trying to diagnose the faults of the self, عيوب النفس, the faults and diseases of the hearts or of the souls, and trying to find the cure from the Quran and the Sunnah. And we can actually see great wealth from our scholars on the subject. Many books have been written, and even way of life like tasawwuf, the Sufism, was actually built upon that. That's what the tasawwuf was based on. Some of it, of course, have went a little astray, but to the most part, alhamdulillah, it stayed on that path. So we look into that and see the faults that we all have. We all have faults, and we share most of them. Some of us, alhamdulillah, have dealt with some of our demons and beat them, and some of us will deal with it until we meet our Lord. But we should not ignore it or belittle it or think of it that it's something that Allah put in me, so I shouldn't have to worry about it. Allah knows me and He created me, so I would just act the way I feel like it, and Allah knows my intention. Right? We hear that argument a lot. Allah knows my intention. Brother, don't judge me. Sister, don't judge me. Allah created me this way. Allah will deal with me later, and we keep going. SubhanAllah. And we ignore all the ayat and the hadith that speak about enjoining the right and forbidding the wrong. That's not really a negative way of judging. That we're supposed to, as we talked about before, to come and constructively criticize each other to get better, inshallah. But we'll look at some of the faults that we have in ourselves and some of the things that will harm us the most. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, inshallah, is al-ghadab, anger. Anger. It's an emotion that we all have. Every person in this room, every person, every human being have been angry a few times in their life. And they've acted out of anger. Right? And we usually, when we mention anger, we always say that it's something that is wrong and negative and you should not be angry. And we even quote the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was approached by one of the companions. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, awsini, O Messenger of Allah, advise me. Give me advice. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you would expect that he will give him a long speech about do this and don't do that and feel this way and get close to Allah and so on. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him one thing. La tafrub. That's it. Do not be angry. Right? So the companion was, okay, he was shocked, he was taken aback. It's one word. I'm seeking more. I have the time to sit with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want the guidance. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, awsini, O Messenger of Allah, advise me again for the second time. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, La taghdab, do not be angry. The man thought, okay, well, I'll get the message. It's important, okay, I'm not going to ignore it, but I need more. Ya Rasulullah, awsini, O Messenger of Allah, give me advice. He said, La taghdab, do not be angry. And the man just took it at that and left. Right? So most of us will quote this hadith or read this hadith and say that as a Muslim, I should not be angry. Right? We should not have that kind of a negative emotion. But that's not quite true. Anger is an emotion that is innate in a human being. Right? If you look at a toddler, I have a little toddler, like a little boy over there, runs around the house, right? The equilibrium is not quite there yet, so they just, you know, stuttering through and they're running around, they hit a hole. They lay down and cry. You come to that child to comfort him. What happened? I hit the pole, right? Or the table, or the chair, whatever it might be. What's our, in most cultures, what do? What bad pole? Hit the pole, right? And the kid was like, yes, hit the pole. And they feel good about themselves. They probably even hurt themselves when the Prophet was trying to hit that pole or that chair, but they still feel good. I hit the chair, yes, no, I'm good, and they walk away. Right? What is that? I mean, what good does hitting the pole or the chair do to the child? There's no gain or no benefit whatsoever, correct? But it's just quenching that thirst of anger. They feel anger, right? Although they're 3 or 4 years old, they still, it's innate. They feel that anger and they just want to see revenge. I just want to see harm done to that thing that caused me harm. That's all I want to see. There is no rhyme, no reason. I don't care who was there. Who told the pole to be in my way? No. I want revenge. That's the emotion that came. Like I said, there is no logic behind it. It is something that is innate in human beings. And we feed it. As parents, as the village around that child, we feed into it. We tell them, that's how you get it back. Hit that thing. Alright? We feel into it. And as we grow, and we gain more understanding and more logic and more power through wealth, through physical strength, through having actual power over some people or so on, we express that anger even more negatively. We have the power and we want to inflict some harm on people or things, even though that they did not harm us in the first place. I just want to express some power. And there's usually some anger that's fueling that power. So, how did the Prophet ﷺ mean it? If he told him 3 times, لا تغضب, do not be angry. If you look at the Prophet ﷺ and look into his shama'il, Shama'il al-Nabawiyyah, for example, many books have been written on the subject, like the most famous is by Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, the famous collector of hadith. Shama'il al-Tirmidhi. meaning the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you look in one of the things that in the description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that when he used to get angry, when he what? Used to get angry, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would blush. You will see a big vein that will actually start popping out in between his eyes sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will be so angry that he will not put his izar on, he will actually just will drag it behind him. That's when the Sahaba will know that he is angry to the top. That's it, he has had it. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a beautiful anger. Now when you hear that term, beautiful anger, it might sound like an oxymoron. How can you have beautiful anger? I mean, anger is usually negative, something that's destructive. How can you have beautiful anger? Right? I mean, it's the same concept as wasbir sabran jameela, and have beautiful patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to deal such with the disbelievers. To have a beautiful patience. There's different kinds of patience. There's a patience that you have no way but to have. Right? Something happened to you and you're going to go through it whether you like it or not. That's a form of patience. But there's also different kinds of patience that can be beautiful. And the same thing goes for anger. When we have anger, the way we deal with it, that's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about. So when he mentioned to them in another hadith, and that's why it's important to put this hadith together to understand what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means, instead of taking one and take it out of context and explain it the way we see fit. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ? Do you know who is the bankrupt? So the Sahaba who are around, they said, الْمُفْلِسُ فِينَا, the one we consider bankrupt, مَنْ لَا دِينَارَ لَهُ وَلَا دِرْهَمْ. The one who does not have no dinar or dirham, meaning he does not have no dollars, no pennies either. He's just bankrupt, that's it. Doesn't have anything. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-muflisu fi ummati, the bankrupt in my ummah, is the one who comes with great numbers of prayers, of fasting, of charity, of hajj. But he comes and he has abused this person. He has cursed this person. He has harmed this person. He has oppressed this person. And they come on the Day of Judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will take away from his good deeds and give it to those people he have wronged. Until he has no more good deeds. And he still has people that he have wronged. So he will be taken away from their bad deeds. And he will be put into his scale. And he will be thrown into hellfire. Na'udhu billah, we seek Allah refuge from that. And if you look at the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described, most of those things we do in anger. In a moment of anger, we will call other people names. Correct? It's mentioned in the hadith. The sab, cussing people out. Oppressing others. You don't have to be a king or a ruler or a president to oppress. You can be an oppressor at your own home. You can be an oppressor in a classroom. You can be an oppressor anywhere and everywhere. So those things we usually do out of anger. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called anger and hate and something that is, subhanAllah, very profound. He called it al-haliqa. Al-haliqa, meaning the shaving blade. Right? Now imagine you go to a barbershop. Those old school blades that, you know, the barbers open and they put the blades into it. And imagine if that barber just put his blade right here, right now, and trying to cut down. Does it matter how much beard I have? Doesn't matter if it's this long or this long, it's going to cut it completely off. Correct? That's what a blade does. You put it on top of your scalp and you move it, your hair is gone. Doesn't matter if it's half an inch or if it's all the way down to the ground. It's gone. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alluding to as far as anger, that it will shave your iman regardless of how much of it you have. It does not matter how much religiosity you have. How much deen you have in your heart. It does not matter how much of Quran you know. Once that anger comes and sits in your heart, all of that is gone. The light of the Quran that you have in you, the light of iman, of faith that you can have in you, will be completely put out by a few drops of anger. You will act out of character. If you look at it now, most of us are, as Muslims, are viewed by the rest of the world as people who are just, they just react, are always angry. One time I was talking to a Christian guy, and he wanted to share some delight with me. So he brought me some brochures about Christianity and all that. And I told him, I actually studied Christianity in depth, so we can discuss it if you want to. He said, no, I just want to give you these. You can read them at your own time and just go ahead. Alhamdulillah, fine, no problem. One of those little books, one of those, is kind of a like a caricature kind of style brochures. And it has, the title was, Is Allah Like You? Is Allah Like You? Right? And they put a family in there. They talk about a Muslim family. So they draw a stereotypical Middle Eastern guy whose beard is down to his belly button, who's always angry, fuming, just have a mean mug throughout the whole book. Beard like that and yelling most of the time, and the spit is coming out. He beats his son. When the mother comes to intervene, he beats her too and tell her, how dare you? A Muslim woman knows her place and she shouldn't question the husband, and so on. It goes into all this crazy ideas. Right? And they, in the end, try to say that, oh, Allah of the Quran, who is, by the way, if most of you don't know, Allah, according to them, is a moon god, just in case you don't know who Allah is. He's a moon god who is always angry, and that's why we are angry. Right? And the thing is, that's what they hear a lot of times when they hear people counseling each other, is fear the punishment of Allah. Right? That's kind of the usually the model of Muslims for non-Muslims. It's always an angry preacher who's talking about the hellfire. So you can't really blame him much, right? We have to really paint the beautiful picture of Islam with our character stuffs. So that's the thing that people imagine when they think of a Muslim. Somebody who's angry, and even if they were not Muslim before, they were not angry, now they're angry. Right, because of this religion before, because of this Quran, and all they can talk about is inflicting harm on others, and they actually apply that at home, and all they can think about is putting people in the hellfire. Subhanallah. And if you look at our character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his seerah, it's completely different from that. Have nothing to do with that whatsoever. The exact opposite. So it's something that we really have to think about. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, in advising the Sahaba, he said, لَيْسَ الْقَوِيُّ بِالصَّرْعَةِ. The person, the strong is not proven by how, or you know, by the ability of wrestling people down. وَلَكِنَّ الْقَوِيَّ مَنْ يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. But the strong is measured by their ability of controlling themselves when angry. So we have to acknowledge that anger is going to come. It is illogical and irrational to say that from this point on I'm not going to get angry. Right? That has been achieved by one man that we know of, Dhul-Kifl alayhi salam, and that's why his story is in the Quran. That's why he was named Dhul-Kifl, the one who took care of you know, the covenant. He took it upon himself not to get angry, have done that. And he has done it extraordinarily to the point where he is mentioned in the Quran. Right? Not much of his story is mentioned except for that. So we have to know that we will get angry. Something is going to get under our skin, whether that's from somebody who we know or don't know, somebody who's very close to us, or somebody who, like we said, like I said, have no relation to whatsoever. What matters is how we deal with that anger. And the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam anger and why it is so beautiful is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was described by his wife and the companions after he passed away sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he never used to get angry for his own self. I mean, think back in the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, we can move up and make some room for those who come in later, inshallah. Think of the surah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many times can you just remember right now that he was called names? From being crazy to a soothsayer, a magician, and everything else in the book. How many times can you remember with the little surah seerah that we know? Wallah, there's so much to know about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know very little of it. But even in that little, how many times do you remember when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was attacked and beaten physically? How many times he was harmed through his family, his own self? He was fought sallallahu alaihi wasallam for years. He was being bloody to the point where in the battle of Uhud, for example, his daughter Fatima, radiallahu anha wa abaha, a young, very young woman, was cleaning the wounds of her father, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, putting the ashes in those big cuts so it will stop the bleeding. One of the companions will come and see two rings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam armor was lodged into his cheeks, one of each of his cheeks. And to get it out, he will bite it until his teeth broke. One of the companions' teeth broke just trying to break the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loose of his own arm, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not if even something like that happened to you. If somebody of so much getting your way in traffic, what kind of character would you bring out in anger? If somebody at home does something to wake you up or startle you or something like that when it's not time for you to wake up, how would you act in that anger? Now imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all he went through, and all he can say and do is make dua for his people. Oh Allah, they do not know. Oh Allah, bring them to Iman. I mean, subhanAllah. All this harm they inflicted on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will put his own personal feelings aside. The only times that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would get angry, when one of the hudud of Allah, one of the limits of Allah is transgressed. That's the only time he would get angry, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would get angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not for himself. When the people used to come and treat him roughly, like that Bedouin who came to him and just grabbed him from the back and yanked him. And he said, Muhammad, give me from what Allah gave you. Right? He wants some wealth. Give me something you have. And the Prophet ﷺ would turn around and just smile to him and tell him, yes, we will. Subhanallah. How much patience that took from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the people calling him, like we said, calling him magician and soothsayer and crazy and all of his names, and actually waiting until he goes into prostration in front of the Kaaba and then bring the guts of camel that was slaughtered nearby and throw it on his back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Blood and feces and everything else. How much control would have taken from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to not lash out back? When the Jews used to come to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had the dominion of most of the Arabian Peninsula, most of it was under his authority, and he can inflict harm on any person he wishes. And those Jews used to come to his own house and tell him, "Assalamu alayka, death be upon you," playing with words instead of saying "Assalamu alaykum." And they will come to him. Imagine if somebody come right now in the message and start, you know, using that kind of speech with us. What would we do? We'd get angry, right? They'll probably see the mob, and they'll probably see the long bearded guy who's yelling with spit coming out of, get out of the masjid. Correct? What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do when somebody came to his own house and he had the power to do whatever he wanted to do? Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha couldn't handle. She was upset for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she answered back, "Bal assalamu alaykum wa la'natullah. But death and the curse of Allah be upon you." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Mah ya Aisha." He said, "Be quiet of Aisha, ya Aisha." And she said, "Ya Rasulullah, didn't you hear what they said?" He said, "Did you hear what I said?" And he reminded her and said, "I said wa alaykum, and to you. Whatever you said, back at you." As easy as that. You do not stoop down to that level. We all have that control as believers of our anger, and knowing that it will ruin our iman. Because once you have, like we said, the Prophet ﷺ called it al-haliqa, right? The shaving blade. So we know that once we have it in our heart, it's very hard to get rid of. So we try to actually block it from coming in to begin with. So once we feel that anger coming in, we channel it. We first think, is this something that is angering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and displeasing to him, and that is that why I'm angry? Or am I angry because something personal happened to me? That would be the first filter that we have to put, the anger filter. And once we actually do get angry and we recognize it, then we do the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us to do. We change the position that we're in. Whether you're sitting or standing, if you're standing, you sit down or lay down. Do something different. change the environment right away. Say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Seeking refuge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan that curse. Right? Because he's right now fueling the fire. He see you get it angry, he got a whole heap of wood, he's just throwing it in. Yes. He's just reminding you of all the things that should make you angry. And that's when you take ista'adah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you seek refuge by Allah, you change the position you're in. If that doesn't put it out, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that wudu will put out anger like water will put away fire. Go and make wudu. Go and talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either by going into salah, if you don't have the ability because of whatever situation you're in at the moment, read Quran. It's very soothing to hear a reciter with a beautiful verse that you usually listen to, for example in Ramadan or other times, and having that recitation in your mind, or even playing it and listening to it. How can you even be angry listening to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It would be so soothing that it should take that pain away. If not, then you really need to examine yourself. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سيك الله في الفجنس شوري الأرض الحمد لله الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض وهو على كل شيء قدير وصلى الله وسلم على نبيه الأمي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and gratitude is to Allah, to whom belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. Truly He is over everything is competent. And peace and blessings be upon the unlettered and trustworthy Prophet and upon his family and companions and those who follow the guidance. We have to recognize that what we do and act and say in anger will have a lasting effect. Most of the times, because we are angry, we are not really thinking about our actions or our words. And we think that it will end right here. And we can just say about this, oh, I'm sorry, I just said it in anger. Right? That's what we usually do. My bad, I said it in anger, now you can just forget it and just cross it out because I just said it in anger. I don't really mean it. But there's a story that will put that into perspective. It's something beautiful when I heard it from one of our scholars. He said there was a young man, young boy, who was always angry to the point where his parents didn't know how to deal with him. Right? And that's the plight that we have nowadays. A lot of parents will try to pin off their troubled children on an imam, a teacher, a counselor. Here, you deal with him, fix him, and bring him back. Right? Or you deal with him, diagnose him, give me a name for for whatever condition we have so we can give him pills, or we can just say, don't mind him, he has this condition. We overdiagnose, subhanAllah, instead of dealing with the issues. But that's neither here nor there. So the boy was troublesome, and the parents didn't know how to deal with him. So they sent him away to stay with the grandfather, who lived alone, very old, very wise. They said they'll just put it with him, he'll deal with him, fix him, and they will get him back later. So the young boy went and lived with his grandfather. Now, the problem is when he used to get angry, he gets angry at the smallest thing. He will go around and express his anger physically. He will break things around the house. So when the grandfather saw that the first couple of times, he got tired. He said, come here. Let's have a deal. Whenever you get angry, express yourself. But not by breaking my things. So valuable, those are old stuff. Some of them are older than you. So here's a hammer. There's a box of nails. Whenever you get angry, take some nails and hammer it to this back door. Go at it. Right? So about a week later, the grandfather calls the son and went to the back door. So they looked at the back door and it's riddled with nails. All the way up to down. I don't even know how the boy got up there. Probably got a chair and it's like, I'm just getting the nails in. It's riddled. It's filled with it. So he told him, now every time you get angry and you do something, you hurt a person, just like you put that nail through that door. So now he talked to him, calmed him down, and the boy started to recognize, well, yeah, that's a lot of harm, so I'm causing a lot of trouble. So he said, okay, so now you need to fix it. He said, okay, fair. So he started taking all the nails off. And once he's done, he come happy, Grandpa, I fixed my mistakes. He told him, let's come back, look at the door. Now what do you see? It's riddled with holes. And he told him, now, whenever you inflict harm through that anger, even if you say sorry and take it back, there's still a hole in that door. The harm is still there, and it's going to last. And that's how we have to look at our actions and sayings. The lasting effect is not going to be there for that one moment. Sometimes it can be damaging for life. And that's why anger is vilified for most of us. Because that effect, like we're saying, can last forever. Sometimes. So we have to really choose our words when we get angry. That's the moment when you really want to choose your words. As the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying to one of his companions, that a person can say a word, la yulqi laha bala, not giving it much thought, not even giving it much weight, but it will be such in a great thing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that due to that one word he can go to the hellfire. And a person can say a word, not giving it much thought, but he'd be so weighty in the sight of Allah that he can go to the Jannah just for that one word. So we really have to be careful of the things we say, just as we're careful of the things that we do. Out of anger specifically, because we usually think about things we say and do outside of that. But in anger, we blame it all in anger and we just act. So I ask you and I beseech of you to have consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially when you are angry. Remind yourself of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how the things he went through, and compared to the things you are going through, and whether you really should be angry or not. Compare it. Whenever you, at the moment, somebody does something to you, trying to compare it to something that happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if it's something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got angry at, by all means, get angry. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Oh Allah, do not let our hearts deviate after you have guided us and give us from your divine mercy. Surely you are the sustainer. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Oh Lord, give us good in this life and good in the next and protect us from the hellfire. اللهم نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ بك منه نبيك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Oh Allah, we ask you from the best that your Prophet and Messenger Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, have asked of you. Oh Allah, we seek refuge by you from the words that your Prophet and Messenger, peace and blessings be upon you, upon him, have sought of you. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. We glorify you, Allah, and we praise you, and we have gratitude toward you. We bear witness that there is no deity beside you. We seek your forgiveness and we repent to you. Wa aqim as-salah.